his guidance. Like, this is the kind of stuff that you wonder how his agent is an agent. Ace Bailey, who did not work out for a single team in the NBA draft process. The only team that he had a scheduled workout for, he canceled. Apparently, we have reports out now that he told at least one team in the top five, do not draft me. Then he gets drafted by the Utah Jazz and looks disgruntled and upset at the fact that Utah did draft him. Fifth overall, mind you. And immediately, as things got going on yesterday, Shams has a report that, had the report that the plane that Utah sent for Walter Clayton Jr. and Ace Bailey to take back to Utah did not have Ace Bailey on it.
Did have Walter Clayton on it. He was upset because he had a promise from Miami. He's from Florida, played at Florida, thought he'd stay in state and all that, but he's being a pro and going to do the damn thing.
Well, I will say this. I think that may have been blown out of proportion as a standalone, because oftentimes these guys do have other things that they need to tie up before they go, and it's not a big deal. But when you add all of the everything together, Ace Bailey has screwed up this process at every single turn.
And a lot of this will say, you know, well, it's not Ace's fault. It's not his agent's fault, because his agent, that when you reference agent, his actual agent isn't doing anything wrong here. Omar Cooper is not a registered agent. Omar Cooper is Sharif Cooper, former NBA player. He has been advising Ace Bailey and his family for the last couple of years. He is not a certified agent from the NBPA. For those that don't know, you have to get a certification process. I believe it's like $1,200 a year to renew your license every year. What that does is, number one, they go through, you have to have a degree in either law, business, or one other thing. I can't remember what it is. You have to have a degree. You have to take a test. You have to do all these things. And it just puts these minor barriers in place that keep the grifters out of the system. That's the real point of this, and that you're going to take care of guys.
Grifters always find their way in the system.
And you try to put your systems in place best you can, right? And this is where you kind of get these middlemen, and that's what Omar Cooper has been operating on. I believe Ace is actually registered with GSE as an actual agent, because you do have to have some sort of representative to go through the process. They're saying, we think Utah is a great landing spot for him. And everybody in basketball thinks Utah is a great landing spot for him, because he will be empowered. And Danny and Austin Ainge are good guys to go work with. And Ryan Smith is a great owner. And your head coach, Will Hardy, is an absolute dude that will take everything that you have and maximize you. That's what Will Hardy does. So from all those things,
Jonathan Givney just now, a statement has been given to Givney from Utah saying, we have had good communication with Ace Bailey and his representatives. Ace and his family are coming to Utah tomorrow.
Mm. That's getting out in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is from the Utah Jazz, not from Ace Bailey's representation. Brian Windhorst today, this morning, said Danny and Austin Ainge will not be pushed around.
No, they won't.
You are being told, we don't care what your feelings are, you're going to come here, we're going to have you here, and we're going to show you why you're going to love it here.
Windhorst doesn't need to report that. That is who Danny Ainge is.
Look, Danny,
I mean, do we not know this guy traded his big three out of town in Boston? Like, he is not afraid to make moves.
No.
He's not, and people will say he's like cold-blooded and cutthroat. He is not. I think that is a bad rap that he has. No, he's really damn smart, though, mm-hmm. and he knows when he has leverage in a situation. And this is the thing that Ace Bailey needs to get, or what needs to get through to Ace Bailey. He doesn't have that leverage.
No, and that's the thing, is like, the only person in this draft who had that actual kind of leverage is Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not every year. Last year, no one in the draft had real crazy leverage. Now, Alex Saar did steer the Atlanta Hawks away. And the Hawks said, you know what? If you don't want to be here, it's fine. Reza Shea's in the same spot on our board. We'll take Reza Shea. But it's because Saar wanted to go to D.C. And that kind of positioning does happen. Like, the whole, like, declining workouts thing, that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Regularly. But there has been a change. the NBA in the past years, I want to say 2 years ago, the NBA mandated that every player has to attend the combine and every player in the lottery or projected lottery has to have their medical record shared. So in the past, what agents would do, if they didn't want their player to go to a certain team, they would withhold medicals and they would not go work out for them. Because the medicals, that's a real thing. Like, that's a scary thing. Because if you can't see the medicals on a guy, and you've got a guy who's a ticking time bomb, you want to know.
He is not nearly good enough to pull this either. No. Like, that's the other thing about it is, if he had a, well, we'll take his teammate. If he had a Dylan Harper type year, you could actually understand, all right, I kind of see where he's coming from a little bit. Like, there's a lot of players that they don't want to go to bad situations and they don't want to go to bad franchises. And I don't blame them for that. But here is the thing about Ace Bailey that I just don't get. You underperformed at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Like, full stop. You came in as the number two and three players in the country, both went to Rutgers. Mm-hmm.
And there's talk of him possibly going number one. Like, coming out of Hoop Summit, there were people like, Ace Bailey could be the number one pick next year.
And that did not happen. No. And he did not perform anywhere close to that level.
He was very good, but not to that point.
This is where you look at a guy saying, the advice has been bad, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been continually poor advice that he has gotten. Because I will also go to this. Yeah, has Utah not won very many games recently?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't. And they have intentionally turned that thing into the mountain.
Yeah.
You have got Danny Ainge in an executive role.
Mm-hmm.
He is handing over the reins to his son,
mm-hmm.
who he has been grooming. It's not like this is, you know, truly a nepotism role. He hired him over a decade ago and sent him to Portland, Maine to run a G League team.
Yep, and he worked his way up. Most executives do this, and I'm not even the sons or the daughters, the nepotism stuff. If you were going to eventually be a GM, unless you were Sam Presti, who gets hired by the Sonics / Thunder when he's 25 or 26, something insane as an AGM and then a GM at 28, you go spend time. Joe Cronin came to this team as an intern. And then Pritchard brought him in, kept him as his CBA guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked his way up and did everything in the front office.
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening. Masai Ujiri was another one of those guys that worked his way up. Like, you just kind of go down the list. Unless you're a guy who's a former player in the NBA or an agent like a Palenka or a Nico Harrison or something along those lines, because teams are kind of pivoting that direction. These guys very typically work through an organization for a decade, and they've worked in all of the different roles, so they have understandings of every level of their organization, which Austin Ainge has gone through. But you also in Utah have Will Hardy and Ryan Smith. And they're all in lockstep.
And you have an owner who cares.
Yes.
And has money that he's willing to pump in and has pumped into the team.
And empowers his front office.
And oh, by the way, like, I know a lot of people go like, Austin Ainge, Nepo kid, every job that he's had, he's been given by his dad. Sure, he got hired by Boston. Mm-hmm. But when Danny left Boston,
they kept him.
They kept him.
Mm-hmm.
And they promoted him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny was like, I'm going to step away from this. They went and they hired him. Furthermore, on this, the Utah roster, if for Ace Bailey, you said it is a good situation for him. He will have the ball in his hands. They will use him properly. That roster has got Walker Kessler, mm-hmm. Taylor Hendricks, Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, Colin Sexton, Isaiah Collier, Jordan Clarkson, Walter Clayton Jr., who's now a shooter that is drafted mm-hmm. with you, and then you get to fit into that where you aren't asked to bear the burden of that franchise, yeah. but you can still be a star there.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna
the burden is on Lauri Markkanen's shoulders there.
And the funny thing is Lowry's a very, very, very unique player in that he is a 20-plus point-per-game scorer that doesn't need the ball. He's like a 7-foot cutting Klay Thompson. That's what he is. Like, he does not work in isolation. He does not work in pick and roll. He works in spot ups, cuts, and off DHOs and getting rip plays. Like, he's not a pound the ball guy.
You know what's crazy about, if you look down the top five picks of this draft,
mm-hmm.
three of the top five picks, they aren't going to be guarded by the best defender on either team.
No, they're going to incredible situations.
When you look at Cooper, Flagg, Dylan Harper, and Ace Bailey, they'll be ignored largely.
Colin, even as bad as Charlotte is, teams are going to look at LaMelo, they're going to look at Miller, and they're going to look at Bridges. Colin is going to play off ball, and he's probably going to have a great year.
That's crazy to think about how disregarded these high-level picks are.
VJ's got you could make the case for all five guys.
All five guys.
Maxey, PG, Embiid, Jared McCain. Like, guys that are going to probably be on the ball more than he is. Like, he just has the kind of paper over stuff. Ace is going to be the one that's most empowered, but he also has, while being empowered with the ball, he's probably going to have one of the better support structures while actually having the ball.
And just because of pure skill set, like Kyrie coming off the ACL will be interesting to see what he's like.
Yeah.
But you also have like Cooper Flagg, because of the unique skill sets that Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis mm-hmm. have, those guys command attention.
Yeah, and PJ Washington and Derek Lively. Like, you've got a rim roller, you've got an all-world player in the paint in AD. Kyrie's a guy that does dominate the ball. I'm very interested. It's very likely that the Dallas Mavericks are going to sign D'Angelo Russell in free agency because of the limit with the amount of money that they have and the point guard market. D'Lo's a guy that certainly is on the ball. It would not surprise me if Jason Kidd does what John Shire did, and that goes, screw it. Give Cooper the ball. Let him learn. Let him try to figure this out, and let him have this support structure of PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and D'Lo kind of work, or Clay, work off of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's it hurt Duke in the first month of the season, and then they reaped the rewards the rest of the year as he got better and better and better like a supercomputer. Like, because of the way the lottery fell this year, you had players going to teams that made a ton of sense, that is going to give them roadmaps to success that typically you don't see at the top.
Yeah.
Particularly at 1 and 2
mm-hmm.
with Dallas and San Antonio. Like, there's infrastructure in place and like Hall of Fame caliber support. Like, Kyrie and AD, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And when you're talking in San Antonio, you've got the San Antonio structure with Wemby, Fox. Like, I mean, you've got dudes around you.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
it's going to be super interesting.
Good luck, Ace Bailey.